Have you ever struggled with fear in your life? Have you ever had the thought that I am not brave? Well, I'm here today to tell you that you are. Welcome to the Brave Podcast. I'm your host, Alexis Newland, and I'm so glad that you're tuning in here today. Each week, a friend and I get together and share stories of what makes them brave. So sit back, relax, enjoy your favorite cup of coffee or tea, and get ready for some engaging conversation. And remember, no matter what your story is, you are brave. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Brave Podcast. I believe this is episode 56, which blows my mind that there are now 56 of these, and I've been doing this for over a year, which is amazing. And thank you guys for tuning in each week. I'm so appreciative of my listeners. I love getting the feedback that you guys give. I appreciate you so much. So I just wanted to say that before I get started with telling you about my awesome guest. So today I interview two guests at the same time. I haven't done that in a while since Nikki and Michael Moses' interview, which was really fun, which was back when I first started. Well, I think they might have been the second interview I ever did. So that's a fun one to tune into if you want to hear me do two guests at the same time again. Oh, that's not true. I did Richard and Sarah Harney. Man, I can't remember everything, which is kind of good. It means I've been doing this for a while. All right. So anyway, on to this week's guest. So Shelly Buck and Kathy are lifelong friends who came together when Shelly lost her son Ryder after him successfully beating cancer. He was later killed 3 months later in a roadside accident. And so Shelly and Kathy came together to write a book about Ryder's story. The novel is Leave the Light On, and it talks about finding your inner light. It was really fun talking to them and listening to Ryder's story and the legacy that he left, and also how Kathy uses writing and creativity as a way to deal with grief. It's a really good episode. If you've ever dealt with loss, this is a good one to tune into. So without further ado, here's my interview with Kathy Curtis and Shelly Buck. You guys are listening to the Brave Podcast, and my guests today are Kathy Curtis and Shelly Buck. And so I'm going to have you guys introduce yourselves and kind of get into your story.
Okay. Shelly, why don't you start?
Okay. Well, my name is Shelly Buck. I'm the mother of three boys, Ryder, Woody, and Reed. The eldest has passed away. He had cancer, but that's not how he passed. He survived the cancer and was in an accident on the freeway, and that's what took him. So I've been going through that process, the cancer and the grieving journey, for the last 8 years. And I'm still working hard at being a good mom to my other two and a good wife and mother.
And my name is Kathy Curtis, and I'm a lifelong friend of Shelly's. And we've lived apart for, oh my gosh, a long, long time. We actually met in junior high, and I moved away when we were near the end of high school and were far, far into adulthood. And so we've been apart for all that time. She's been in California, I've been in the Midwest, but we've maintained a really strong connection. My life kind of took a path through some corporate work, but also I had a sideline gig where I am really interested in the way that creativity is a healing tool. And when people are going through things like grief and illnesses and really anything that life dishes out that's just harder than we think we have the ability to deal with, I've incorporated writing and art programs that have given people an outlet for those feelings that are hard to manage and sometimes even hard to articulate. I had been doing that work for about 20-some years when Ryder passed away. So I brought a lot of my insights that I had gained through the years in my work into my friendship with Shelly as I tried to help her through the grief. But then when she decided to write a book, to take her journal that she had kept the whole time and turn it into the story of this young man who had an amazing light that is alive to this day, because my career and my corporate life had been as a writer, then I was really well equipped to help her put the book together. And so that's really what brings us to your podcast today.
I'm so glad you guys are both here.
Yeah.
And so I want to go into Ryder's story. What kind of cancer did he have? How did you guys find out about his diagnosis?
Well, Ryder had testicular cancer. He was diagnosed when he was 22. And I found out through a phone call. He called me and I was painting a graphic on a gym building at the high school where my other two were going. And he said, "I've got good news and bad news, Mom. What do you want first?" So I said, "Give me the bad news." And he said, "Well, I have cancer." And that's how I found out. It took me half a day to be able to talk to his doctor because he was, after all, 22, and he had to give him written consent to speak to me about it, which put me in orbit. But that's just the first hurdle we had to get over. We went through 9 months. I say we because I was with him every day he was in the hospital. 9 months of treatments, and he came out clear. So that was a big, jubilant, wonderful summer.
Yeah. How long ago was that?
That was 7.5 years ago. He was cleared in the summer of 2013.
Oh, that's wonderful. How did you deal with that process of dealing with your son being sick and being an adult and then you being his mom? How did you kind of cope with that?
Well, that was a real trial. He wanted basically nothing to do with any of the information that the doctors were giving me. He wanted me to absorb it all and tell him what he needed to know, but then he didn't really want to hear it. So I was the gatherer of information and the dispenser of information in little tiny bits. As I said, he would be inpatient 1 week and then outpatient for 2 weeks. So the whole time he was in the hospital, I would be with him from about 10 in the morning till 6 or 7 at night, just keeping him company, gathering information from the doctor and the nurses, and trying to just make the dance work. He didn't want to be around me when he was outpatient. As soon as he felt well enough, he wanted to go take off to the mountains or the beach or whatever and be away from cancer mom and the cancer house. So we had a lot of balancing to do in our relationship.
Hey, Kathy, were you involved in any of this when Shelley was going through the cancer process with her son, Ryder?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, she kept a daily journal on CaringBridge, which she did to help all of her close connections know what was going on day in and day out. We talked some, but I remember that time being pretty frenetic for her. She was really overwhelmed between being with Ryder all day. What I'm feeling like I want to add into this part of the conversation is that Ryder was a very independent spirit, and he lived life on his own terms. And so not only did they have this balancing act for Shelley, learning to let go and learning to give him the freedom that he needed to get out and do what he wanted to do that made him happy and made him feel good. And they were all pretty healthy things by and large. I mean, going hiking, going down to the beach. But even things like when he was in the hospital, they'd find him down in the lobby doing Pilates at midnight.
Wow. Or
his chemo bag outside to play, you know, his music under the stars. He pushed the envelope in life. He didn't stop pushing the envelope just because he got sick.
Yeah.
And in the long run, when I think about all that, and as we were working on kind of telling his story, I really believe that Ryder knew what he needed to be mentally and emotionally and spiritually healthy.
Yeah.
And it didn't necessarily dovetail with what the doctors might have wanted or what Shelley might have wanted. But he did it anyway. In the end, what I believe is that those things really helped him to heal.
Yeah.
Out of that, free of cancer, and had he not kept his spirit alive and kept his personality large and done the things that fed him, I just don't know what the outcome would have been. We will never know, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And so how long after that did the accident happen?
Well, let's see. He was cleared in May, June of 2013, and the accident was October 27th. That would be tomorrow. 7 years ago, and it was completely unforeseen. I mean, his car broke down and he was walking home in the middle of the night in a dense fog, and two cars hit him on the freeway. Oh, and that was it. That was it.
Wow. I can't even imagine getting that phone call, or just after fighting cancer and then to have this happen.
Right. And in between the cancer and the accident, he went away for a month. He went on one of his adventures to Bali to study music. And it was a class that he had found in a local college, and he really wanted to do it. So even though he was fresh out of treatment, this was something that I saw as a major, major healing step. Of all the things that he had done, going to concerts and going to Dodger Stadium, going surfing, this one was really big because it was for a month. So the entire month of July, he was in Bali, feeding his spirit and his soul. And he came back then, the very beginning of August, and we just had 3 more months with him.
So you've been journaling on Caring Bridge. What drove you to make this into a book, his story, your experience?
Well, I had a lot of encouragement from friends who were keeping up with me on Caring Bridge. But the kicker and the real turning point was when Ryder said to me, after he had passed, he said, Mom, write my story. I'll help.
After he passed?
Yeah.
Can you go into that and explain how that happened?
Oh, we got lots of messages from Ryder. He was prolific verbally after he passed as he was in life. And he found ways to get messages to me. We have, you know, one friend who can't help it. She doesn't do it for a living. She doesn't want to be able to do it, but she gets messages from the other side. She would write them down and send them off to me the next day. And this was one of them. And this was one of the ones that made all the difference in the path I've taken in the last few years.
Kathy, how did you help with this? Do you use art and writing as a way of healing? Can you go into how you got into that and how that can help with grief?
Yeah, definitely. I was a teenager when I started keeping a journal. And I did it because I didn't have really a place to go with some of the feelings that I had going on. My family wasn't good at communicating, and I just needed to get things out. I knew from a young age that it really helped me to just get things out, get them on paper. It helped me make sense out of things. It just kept me level. You know, it was a really good thing to do, but then I was working in a nonprofit organization that our clients were women who had gone through very difficult things, a whole range of things. And I was the one who wrote the newsletter and created the website. I was involved in the storytelling for the organization, but I wanted to be more involved with the women. And so I took a weekend training from a woman who had developed a program to help women going through domestic violence by making art, doing writing, and other creative tools. It was just exactly what I had in my head. Came back and I started doing that with the women that we were serving. From there, it just morphed into hospitals were hiring me to help with patients that were going through cancer or heart disease or just very particular things where they needed to deal with that thing. Then I lost my mother several years after I started doing that work. And I did for myself what I guide other people to do. But I did it by writing letters to my mother because there was just a lot we didn't get to say to one another before she passed. But then I felt like she wanted to write back to me. And this is a real creative leap that I took, but I decided it was such a prompt I felt that I went ahead and did it. And it was in that writing where I felt I was getting from her things that I wouldn't have thought she would say to me. I felt like I had forged a connection spiritually with my mom that continues to this day, and it's been a long, long time. So then I began leading workshops in grief. And over and over and over and over and over, I found people were, like, the night that we did the letter from the loved one was the night that everything just opened up. Mm-hmm. I did bring that to the writing of the book, but also I have written other books. And so this is just kind of my natural domain. And I know Ryder and I know Shelley intimately. It's just the most incredible honor and responsibility to, you know, Ryder left a legacy. I wanted to help her make it so clear that people would get to take that legacy and live their lives in a better way with it.
If you guys could sum it up a little, and I know it's probably hard because it's a whole book, what would you say Ryder's legacy was, that the big thing that he wanted people to know about him and how he wanted people to live?
Well, I want Kathy to weigh in on this, but I'll start. Ryder lived, as we've said, Ryder lived large, and he had this shining light about him, this spirit that was so big. He filled the stage. He was a musician. He filled the stage with this love, and in everything he did, he carried this light into his relationships, into his work, and what I think Ryder would want people to know is that they have this light that they can tap into too, and that everyone has it and everyone can live with it shining into the world. And like people find others that are like them. And so you can relate to one another through this light.
Yeah, I think what I would add to that is, people want to know, well, what does that mean? What is that light? Like, yeah, how do you define the light? Okay. Well, it's a combination of knowing yourself so well that you know what you love, you know what turns you on, and you act on that. Like for Ryder, it was music. But also, he had done a lot of real spiritual searching when he was going through cancer, I'm sure facing his own mortality.
Yeah.
And he came to the sense that the only thing that matters is love. The only thing that matters is just connecting through this, through love, through joy, through the kind of things that make us all just feel happy and light up from within. How he knew to live like that at that young age and to be so clear about it and so energized by it. The way that Shelley and her husband and family learned what that had been doing for people is that at Ryder's celebration of life, where they were expecting maybe 300 people to show up, 1,200 people showed up. And it was an hour, you know, service. They stayed for the whole thing. And a friend of Shelley's had put out little cards for people to fill out with a little story about Ryder. When they read those, they were completely blown away by the profound things that Ryder's life had meant to people, to friends, to people who didn't even really even know him. It's like, when we're in that zone of being all that we are and filling our own heart and what we put out with love, like it just extends out into the world and people can't help but be impacted by it.
I agree with you, definitely. And it sounds like he was an amazing, and so young too, because he was 22, 23 when he passed.
He was 23 when he passed. And yes, he was 22 through the cancer. This light that Kathy talks about and that we came to see, I mean, we saw it in him as in life. It came more real to us through these stories that people told us after he passed. I mean, because he lived with us, he could be exasperating, he could be aggravating. He was all that and his beautiful self.
Yeah. Well, in terms of what the book is about, is both about the fact that Ryder, when you read his story, it helps you understand how to live in the light, how to be lit up from within in your own way, mm-hmm. and that you don't have to be perfect. You just need to be real. I mean, he just wanted authenticity was the name of the game. But the thing that I think for people who might be going through grief, what ended up happening, Shelley kept reaching out for him. She would listen to his music. She would watch the videos that she had taken of every performance that he had ever done. She got messages from other people, including me, that things that came through me from Ryder, you don't know if what you're getting is something, but you take it to Shelley and it proves out that there's something to it. That light began to help her heal and find her own light. And so maybe it's just something about becoming more in tune with our spiritual selves that helps people come out of the grief. But if you think about your loved one who's died and what you light up with about them, that changes you from within. Like, people are reluctant to open their heart to a loved one who's died because they think they have to let them go. But in fact, inviting them in to fill you with that love again and to get energized and joyful because of who you got to know in that life, it's just very healing.
So how has the healing process been since his passing within writing the book? Did the writing the book help with your healing process?
Oh, absolutely. It helped so much so that the fact that tomorrow is the anniversary of his death has not been a month of buildup of horrible memories and visions of the accident and how it might have happened. I have just gotten through this year for the first time since he passed, and this is the seventh year, without this gut-wrenching build up. And I attribute it to the work that we've done in the writing of the book and talking about Ryder's story and sharing it with people, all of the work that Kathy and I did. And it was a 2-year period where we talked every day. We talked about Ryder and I got to go through the feelings again. We processed everything, the cancer journey and his death, and then the grieving process. So going through it again and again has really calmed me. It's just changed me in ways that were imperceptible as they were happening, but people have noticed, and Kathy has talked about it. It was a slow road. It was not always pretty. The beginning was horrific. I didn't want to get out of bed. I can't remember ever taking a shower. Of course I did, but I was an automaton. I still had 2 other children to take care of. They were adults, but they needed my attention. And I don't know how I functioned. I didn't want to be here.
Yeah.
So that the process of writing on Caring Bridge and then ultimately writing the book and staying in touch with Ryder, and that's what this is all about, was his light. And the more I stayed in touch with him, the more I found my own light again. The optimism started to come back as I was able to recount his stories and laugh with him and about him. So it was a slow road, but it's been 7 years and it's changed me.
I'm so glad to hear that. And so awesome that you're sharing his story with the rest of the world, and this will encourage and help other people who've gone through what you've gone through. It's a horrible thing to have gone through, but the fact that you turned it into something like this is wonderful.
Yeah, and you don't have to write a book. You can do any number of things for the healing process. I love writing. Kathy is great at it, but any creative outlet is a healing tool. So if you there's something else you like to do, whether it's gardening or cooking, they all work to some degree. The verbalization is really, I think, the best because it helps you put thoughts and feelings into words and get them out.
Exactly.
And I would add to that, too, that there's something really powerful about whatever creative outlet you might have, doing it alongside that loved one, like incorporating them into it so that you're creating something brand new in order, because you have to have a new life. You don't get a choice. I mean, life changed dramatically when they died, but when you can learn to weave them and create them back into something brand new. I remember reading a story about this man who was a famous playwright. His plays were done in New York City. His son died, and he didn't think that he would survive the grief. But what brought him forward was writing a play about his son. And so that act brought him out, but just brought him forward into life. For me, my mom and I had written letters to one another my whole adult life because we had lived apart. So it was a really natural thing for me to write letters to her. But it's like there's some kind of magic in just searching within yourself to say, what would make sense for me to create with my loved one, and figure that out and bring it to life. There's just a lot of healing that happens there.
I love that. So what are you guys' plans for the book? Do you guys want to do more with it? Like have groups to help people with their grief?
Well, we're doing a lot of outreach right now via podcasts and print interviews. And we're reaching out to book groups to appear with them via Zoom or Skype and discuss the book. We are planning speaking engagements where we together, well, with COVID, it will be via Zoom or some platform like that. But yes, we're trying to reach as many people as possible because I think the message of the book is one of hope and inspiration. Mm-hmm. And it's really a recipe for doing life really well.
Yeah.
Doing it big. And who can't use that?
Exactly. Thank you guys so much for being on. I really appreciate having you guys as guests.
Yeah, well, thank you for having us.
Could you tell us the name of the book before we go and then where we can find it?
It's called Leave Your Light On, and it's available on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your books. It can be ordered. You can also go to leaveyourlightonbook.com, and there's a link there to booksellers and also to writer's website, which is writerbuckmusic.com, where you can find videos of his gigs and pictures of him with his band and kind of get to know him a little better, because the picture's worth 1,000 words, and I live by that. So that's writerbuckmusic.com, and it's writer with a Y.
And Kathy, if anyone is interested in your process for grief using creativity and writing, where can they find that about you?
You can go to Kathy Curtis, Inc. That's Kathy with a K, Curtis, and then INK.com. And I have information, and I have books and online programs, and there's some options there. I would welcome that.
All right. Thank you guys so much. And I will put all your contact info in the show notes. And I really enjoyed getting to talk to you guys and have you on today. Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning in to this week's episode. I really appreciate you guys joining me every week and taking time out of your busy day to listen. I appreciate my listeners so much. And I hope you loved the content that I brought today. So my three asks. Ask number one is to share the episode with a friend. If you are loving what you're hearing and you feel like it would benefit someone else, go ahead and share the Brave podcast with those who are close to you, or just a stranger, whoever you want to. Just share it. I'd love that. Secondly, subscribe. You can subscribe in iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, any of your podcatcher apps. You can subscribe to the podcast where you'll be able to get the episodes just automatically downloading for you. It's really great. You won't have to search for it. There's a lot of Brave podcast or the Brave in podcast titles. So when you're subscribing, it pops right up. You can also subscribe to the email list at www.apeachandcali.com. go to contact us and you're on the list that way, that website, however, is going to be gone around early March. And so I'm going to take all of the emails from that website and put it in my new website, which is www.braveoneministries.com. And then you will be getting new emails from me from that email address when I figure out how to connect MailChimp to my website. By the way, if any of you guys are really good at figuring out WordPress and the integrations, and you have any tips for that, shoot me an email. Oh my gosh. I love the ability to build on WordPress, but I am not a coder in any means. So it's just been a little bit of a learning curve, and it's taking me a little longer than I expected to get things up and running. So I'm hoping by March, that's my deadline, because that's when my Wix site expires, to have all that up and running. All right. So if you want to subscribe, you can go to either one of those websites that I mentioned earlier. Ratings, if you're loving what you're hearing and you feel like you want to give feedback about how much you love the show, or if you're hating something, or whatever you're thinking, ratings really helps me understand what you're loving, what needs to change. I appreciate them so much. I appreciate the feedback. I love that people shoot me responses via email about what they're liking about the show. I love it, and I read all of them, even if I don't get back to you right away. I want you to know that I'm appreciative. So if you want to leave ratings, that is great. Next week's episode will be a Brave Bite. I'm not sure what yet I'm going to do. I'm still kind of going through my catalog of experiences of what I'm going to talk about, but you will know when it pops up next week. All right. Thank you guys for tuning in so much, and we'll see you next time. Bye.